Now, parents and caregivers surely have a lot of real-world questions about this news from the FDA Advisory Committee. And to answer some of them, we're joined by Dr. Kristen Moffitt. She's pediatrician and infectious disease specialist at Boston Children's Hospital. Dr. Moffitt, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. Now, there is so much data on adults who have been vaccinated. When you look at the data here, how robust is the data for this group of children?
Yeah, we're in a very similar position right now in terms of the robustness of the data as we were in when we were thinking about rolling this vaccine out to 12 to 15-year-olds. So we have hundreds of millions of adults worldwide now who've received a Pfizer vaccine. We had a couple thousand 12 to 15-year-olds who participated in the phase 3 trials of the Pfizer vaccine, and now we have a couple thousand 5 to 11-year-olds on whom we have data with the lower-dose Pfizer vaccine. So it's a couple thousand compared to millions, but very reassuring from what we do have. And I think we can take some reassurance from the continued safety profile that we have seen in the millions of older individuals who've received this.
Got it. Doctor, I want to ask you, do the side effects look any different for these kids ages 5 through 11?
What we learned yesterday from the representative from Pfizer that reviewed the side effect detail in the side effect details in a lot of detail was that the most common side effects that the children who received the vaccine reported were pain at the injection site. That was fairly common, as is common with most vaccines. After that, there were the most common reported side effects were some fatigue, headache, and muscle pain. And then there were a very small percent of children after their second dose who reported a fever. And when this was compared to the 16 to 25-year-olds who had participated in the Pfizer trials, actually those findings of fatigue, fever, headache all tended to be lower in the 5 to 11-year-olds than in the older participants in their trials.
Okay. You know, something that a lot of parents are concerned about, even still, are wearing masks in schools. What about wearing masks in schools and other places? Once authorization comes through, will wearing them still be recommended, a recommended practice for kids?
I think that the recommendation around masking really is going to depend on a number of things, with vaccination coverage rates being one of them. I think the other important piece of making that decision really has to do with what's going on with community transmission. And we certainly expect that vaccinated individuals, including the 5 to 11-year-olds who should become eligible for this vaccine through emergency use authorization, will be at much lower risk of becoming infected. But we know that breakthrough infections happen, and we've learned that with the highly infectious Delta strain that we've been experiencing a surge with. So I think watching what's going on with community transmission, watching how the virus may or may not be changing and how infectious it is will be another important component of that decision.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Moffitt, in some communities, many children may already have natural immunity from being exposed to COVID one way or the other. So if I'm a parent and I think my kid has that, would it make sense for me to wait a little bit on my child and you kind of see how it goes for other children?
I think it really depends on a few things. I think it depends on how recent your child's COVID infection was. What we've learned from both pediatric and adult natural immunity to infection is that it is quite robust, but that it, much like vaccine-generated immunity, probably does wane over time. So a child who had a COVID infection in the last month or two, probably reasonable to hold off. If it was during the earliest phases of the pandemic that a child was infected, it's a little bit less clear how robust their natural immunity might be by now. So that's one component that could go into that decision. I think the other thing that could go into that decision is what's going on in your community and what your child's likely exposures are going to be. If you have a very young child who's barely leaving the home, others aren't leaving the home very often, there's nobody in the home with a high-risk condition for severe infection, and your child had a COVID infection maybe 6 to 9 months ago, also maybe that's a reasonable scenario to wait. And if a parent would be more comfortable just having more experience seeing how this vaccine rolls out, that would be reasonable too. So it really depends on a number of factors.
For families that are deciding, yes, I want to do this soon for my child, how does that interact with flu shots? I mean, in my household, I and my children just got flu shots. For families who are bringing their children in for those, does it make any sense to get both shots at the same time?
They absolutely could do both shots at the same time, and that might actually overcome one of the biggest barriers for getting children vaccinated to anything, is that it's another trip to maybe the pediatrician's office or to a pharmacy or to a vaccine clinic. And for a lot of families, that may actually be a lot of work to be able to make that happen. We have very good in real world data from decades of experience now giving multiple vaccines to children at the same time and being able to do it safely and effectively. We also had the advantage of a very well-controlled study that came out of the UK, albeit it was in adults, and they looked at giving adults either their second COVID shot alone and with just placebo in the other arm, or they gave their second COVID shot along with a flu shot in the other arm. And what they found was that the people who got the flu and the second dose of COVID at the same time had very similar side effect profiles, and that the immune responses to both vaccines were very similar as to those who received either of the shots alone. So that, taken together with our decades-long experience of giving multiple vaccines at the same time, does tell us that we can feel very confident both about the safety and the effectiveness of the COVID vaccines and the flu vaccines if they're given at the same time.
Doctor, thank you so much for laying this out for us. This has been very valuable for many parents and caregivers who have been watching this news and wanting some of these questions answered. That's Dr. Kristen Moffitt, a pediatrician and infectious disease specialist at Boston Children's Hospital. Again, thank you so much.
Sure, thank you.